How much have the sperm counts gone down in the last 40 years and why? And any information on how this is trending going forward? Again, Joanna?
Well, there's another individual that wrote a book specific to this topic who's not here, but they've gone down. The quality of sperm have gone down. Our capacity in terms of average capacity to reproduce has gone down. We've had more individuals that identify as intersex or transgender, and all of those changes are due to hormone-disrupting chemicals that are used in pesticides, used by industry, used in consumer products. They're quite omnipresent in our environment.
Yeah, Shauna Swan wrote a book called, what's it called, Countdown?
Countdown.
Countdown. Yeah. Okay, Andre?
I want to talk about the good news is that we do know that around much of the world that there's been a dramatic decline in sperm counts since the 1930s. About two decades ago, without noticing it in Denmark, so they did a study on Danish organic farmers because they wanted to see if it was exposure to various chemicals that was causing this. These farmers had the same sperm counts as their grandfathers in the 1930s. So that was a fairly, good study showing that exposure to chemicals is a major reason for this loss of sperm.
Basically, the sperm count has gone down by 50 to 60%. In Western males, depending on which scientific paper you read. Endocrine disrupting chemicals are identified as the major cause, but it's not just sperm counts. Female fertility is also falling. Gender identity is also changing. People don't know what gender they are quite as much as they used to do. Men are starting to grow breasts, penises are shrinking. There are physical effects that are being observed all around the world now as a result of these chemicals, not just in humans, but also in wildlife, extensively in wildlife, in fact. So we're confusing the genders, universally with this avalanche of chemicals. Most of them begin as petrochemicals. You know, your baby, when it comes into the world, already shitting plastic. It drinks from a bottle made of plastic. It goes to bed in sheets made from petrochemicals, on a mattress made from petrochemicals, in a house where the carpets and the furniture contain neurotoxins and endocrine disruptors. You know, this baby from birth is cocooned in these toxins. And it's very, very hard to get rid of them all, let me tell you that. But only demand from human beings can actually stop this happening.
I, of course, like to talk about glyphosate, but I recognize there are many other chemicals that are also disrupting our reproductive capacity. And I'm glad you brought up this whole issue of the transgender and all these issues people are having with confusion about their gender, because these endocrine disruptors play a role in hormone regulation that's completely out of sync with what the body's supposed to be doing. So it really messes up the development. I have a whole chapter in my book on glyphosate and reproduction. And development and all the different papers that have shown that glyphosate is an endocrine disruptor. It operates at very low doses to cause problems. It actually prevents the production of estrogen from testosterone in the brain. And there's a theory that excess testosterone is linked to autism. And there are studies that have shown, there's a new study that came out on girl babies having an anogenital distance that was too long, associated with excess glyphosate in the urine of the mother. A very interesting new paper showing that there's this feature which is characteristic of a dysregulated hormone balance in the female, that it is expressed as excess testosterone. And this is because glyphosate disrupts aromatase, which is the enzyme that converts estrogen to testosterone. And these people who have this problem have a very high risk of developing polycystic ovary syndrome, which is now very common these days all over the world. There's lots of polycystic ovary syndrome, which is a direct problem. It messes up the cycle, a very strong link to infertility in women.
I think one class of chemicals we didn't discuss yet in this discussion right now is the PFAS, the forever chemicals.
Those are
really disruptive to the development, you know, the sexual development of human beings.
That's the no-stick pans, that Teflon.
And those are going to end up also in, you know, the contamination is so widespread and the water supply is going to hit our soil, it's going to hit the food as well.
Ronnie?
Yeah, I think it's important to personify the toxic chemicals that are gender bending and, you know, destroying fertility, because we need to point out to people the history of companies like Monsanto and DuPont and 3M and these companies that knew all along the dangers of their chemicals, but were tempted by the great profits that they could make and then were aided and abetted by governments who covered them up. I forgot to mention one thing about OCA is our third largest source of income is suing corporations and winning in court. Last year, we raised $200,000 in damages from suing companies like Monsanto and Cargill and the rest of them. So I think we need to get more aggressive about this. Is really a form of murder, premeditated homicide that's going on. And these people should not be able to hide behind their masks and their walls and their desks and their, you know, credentials. We need to go after them and make them pay for what they've done.
At the same time, I do want to say that we actually need to support these companies to transition into something better, because, you know, there's that old sort of story of analogy of who's better at getting somebody to take their coat off, the wind or the sun. The harder the wind blows, the more the person clutches their coat. When the sun comes out, they take off their coat. So creating conditions in which companies feel supported and safe into transitioning something that they're still going to be around in 20 years actually makes it easier for them to do so, rather than just giving them hardship and a lot of paperwork to deal with. They need to focus on innovation and implementation of solutions.
Thank you. In the movie Secret Ingredients, we visit Dr. Marcia Schaefer's clinic. She's a chiropractor, and she's been attracting a lot of infertile couples. And she puts them all on an organic diet, and she had 100% success rate. Some of these people have been gone to fertility clinics with diagnoses, without diagnoses, but everyone that followed the protocol had children. And the last time I talked to her was 123 couples. So going organic is very, very powerful. And you can see the story in Secret Ingredients.